I'm Monica, and I'll be talking about the State Reportable Conditions Assessment, or SRCA. So here's just a quick outline of where I'll be going. I'll start with just a brief background. I'll give you an overview of the SRCA. I'll talk about the SRCA data collection tool, the query results database. I'll touch on some of the redesign that we'll be doing of the SRCA for 2011, and then finish with a discussion of the limitations, strengths, and moving towards a reportable conditions knowledge base. So just as background, when I talk about reportable in this presentation, I'm talking about reporting from clinicians, laboratories, and hospitals and others to local and state public health. States determine what's reportable in their state based on a lot of different factors, including the recommendations in CST position statements, the regional and state public health importance, and the morbidity and mortality of those conditions. So if you can imagine, all those different factors result in varying reporting requirements from state to state, both in what's actually reportable and how those conditions are specified. So the next step is notification, which is when states send information about conditions that are of national public health interest to federal public health or CDC. CSTE maintains that list of nationally notifiable conditions through our annual position statement process. And the reason I'm clarifying this is because state reportable and nationally notifiable are not necessarily the same thing. Not all nationally notifiable conditions are reportable in all jurisdictions, and likewise, state lists also include a lot of things that are not nationally notifiable. So all of that variation leads to the need to know what is reportable where, which is what the SRCA is designed to answer. It's an annual web-based assessment of reportable conditions that's completed by state epidemiologists. CSTE and CDC both used to conduct independent assessments of reportable conditions for many years. So in 2007, we tried to combine those efforts and ask the states just once. So the SRCA covers reporting requirements as they're defined by regulation or legislation for conditions that are reportable by clinicians, laboratories, hospitals, and others in 55 jurisdictions. So that includes states, territories, New York City, and Washington, D.C. The SRCA does not include every single condition that's reportable in a state, and it doesn't include all details of reporting requirements, but I'll talk a little bit more about what it has and doesn't have a little bit later on. There's also a time element, so data that are in the SRCA reflect the state reporting rules as of July 1st of the assessment year, and so that would mean that it was reportable for at least the majority of the year. There's two main ways that SRCA data is used. The first is that any data pertaining to the nationally notifiable infectious diseases are analyzed by CDC to be used in the NNDSS MMWR tables. In addition, all data for all conditions in each year are displayed in a query results tool on the CSTE website. And that happens each year after the assessment is done and the data is validated. So here's a look at what the SRCA process looks like each year. During data collection, the jurisdiction completes the online assessment and submits that data to CSTE. We then follow up with the states to make sure that we have 100% response rate. And once the data is complete, we send that to CDC for their QA process. Once it's there, the CDC NNDSS team reviews all those responses, verifies them for the NNIDs against what's available on the state websites and on their lists, and they create summary reports of the MMWR conditions for each state. If there's any discrepancies, they send those to CSTE, we follow up with the states, and then we make sure that they confirm what's in that final report. Here's a look at what the data collection tool actually looks like. I know it may be a little bit hard to read from your seats, but the conditions are split into groups by infectious, non-infectious, and general, and then within those groups, they're split into categories based on the type of disease. Part of the reason for doing this is to make it more manageable, and also because within states, they like to delegate it to different program areas who are most familiar with these conditions. Going down the left-hand side of the page, you see the list of conditions. Notice that some of them are subset or indented because they're subconditions under a more general category, like hepatitis viral infection, and then underneath that there's B, C, and D. Going across, you see columns for each of the different types of reporters, clinician, laboratory, hospital, and the way you'd fill this out is you'd go for each line and click through these series of drop-downs to fill in these codes for whether something's reportable or not. So here's just a closer look at what those codes actually mean. So the authority is what we pay the most attention to, and that's saying whether something's reportable or not. We have E's, which mean explicitly reportable. That means that something is listed or named on the list as a specific thing that's reportable. We have I's, which mean implicitly reportable, and that means it would fall under a general category on the reportable condition list, something like rare disease of public health importance, bioterrorism threat, unusual occurrence of disease, but that actual condition isn't really named on the list. And then we have NR for not reportable. This outbreak only and work only portion are basically our attempt to collect situations where something's reportable only in an outbreak situation or only if it's work related. So going from these E's and I's to yes and no requires a little bit of analysis. CDC uses an algorithm to calculate a dichotomous yes-no result for whether a condition's reportable. For those nationally notifiable infectious diseases, the results are used in the MMWR. So in the example that I've shown, it may be hard to see, but for coccidioidomycosis...
Your has been confirmed. If you need technical assistance during your call, please press star followed by zero. You are the first caller to this conference. Please wait while others join. After
Great.
The tone, please state your name.
Anyway, so for coccidioidomycosis, you can see that there's some N's in that column. And that means that the condition's not reportable in those states. And so the result from the SRCA goes to populate those conditions in the MMWR tables so that we only publish, CDC only publishes data for notifiable diseases that are actually reportable in that state instead of having zeros. So data is also used when the national incidence rates are calculated so that they can properly adjust the populations based on whether it's reportable or not. The second way that data is used is that it's queryable on the CSTE website. You can link to it on our front page under quick links on the left side. So once you actually get to the query page, you can build a query using the dropdowns. You can select the category. You can select the reporters that you want to look at, the year from 2007 to 2010. You can look at specific types of reporters, and you can go through the list of diseases that we have in the SRCA. So this includes everything that's in there, not just the MMWR conditions. You can also choose the states that you're interested in looking at, or you can do an all states query. So for this example, I did an all states query for 2010 and babesiosis. So along the left-hand side of the page under region, it's probably hard to read, but it lists all the states. And then going across, you have all the reporters, just like in the data collection tool. So essentially, this just outputs all the data that's been entered in there, and you'll see not reportable, implicitly, explicitly for the authority, same as in the data entry tool. You can also export data using the toolbar at the top of the page, and you can also filter and play with that query using those toolbars at the top. So for 2011, as I mentioned, we're doing some redesign of the tool for this year. We're currently programming and testing that, and we're hoping to be able to launch it this fall. We've included a number of new features. One is that we've changed the user interface. I'm sure you can imagine from the previous collection tool, it was a series of dropdowns that was kind of cumbersome and took a lot of time for states to fill out. And so we're trying to improve that process and hopefully reduce the burden on states to do it each year. We've included some customizable data entry screens, again, to improve that user burden. We also have the ability for states to define subconditions and reporting details for certain conditions. So we heard from a lot of states that they wanted to be able to say this only is for certain age groups, like under 5 or under 16. They wanted to be able to specify lab values or special circumstances like pregnant women only, deaths only, things like that, which couldn't really be captured in the old SRCA. One of the biggest changes is that we'll be collecting the time frame requirements. So instead of just collecting the explicit or implicit authority for a condition, we'll actually collect the time frame that it needs to be reported in. So here's a look at what the new tool will look like. You can see we changed the way it looks. We've added a search function. We've added the ability to check those boxes along the left-hand side and edit multiple things at once. You're also entering the actual time frames as they appear in your state rules instead of clicking E or I. And there's also a button to add a subset. So we've tried to build in some room to grow for the future. One thing that we'll be doing for the future is that we'll be preserving those responses for each year. So it'll be a lot of work to fill out this year, but for the future, most of that will be pre-filled each year, and the state can just go through, check that it's the same, and be done, and because state requirements don't really change too much from year to year. We've also tried to make the data structure scalable, so if we decide to collect any new information in the future, we can easily do that and just add on to the current database that we have. We also have a development schedule that's iterative each year, so we can add improvements that we hear from our users. And also, because of the different format that the data is in this year, because of the time frames versus the E's and I's, we'll have to change the data query tool and the algorithms that CDC uses, which are currently under development. So the SRCA definitely has several limitations in terms of how the data can be used. One is that it isn't rigorous enough to be used for case reporting by healthcare providers. Reasons for this is that it's not real time. It's filled out once every year, and there's some lag time between when we collect the data and when it's actually been cleaned and is ready to be used. And so by then, something could be out of date. It also lacks all the information that's necessary. It doesn't have the reporting methods. It doesn't have the phone numbers to call, the data elements, or any of that information that somebody would need to actually send a report. It also doesn't include any local jurisdictions besides DC and New York City. If there are any jurisdictions below the state level that you would need to report to, that isn't captured here. It's also not standards-based. There's no real standard for what reportable or not reportable means. There's a lot of interpretation there. The quality of the data entry also depends a lot on the state user's knowledge. So there is some SRCA terminology and logic that's involved, the implicit, explicit. There's also a hierarchy with the general conditions and subconditions that needs to be navigated, and some of that can be confusing. It also depends on the state user's knowledge of the state laws and policies. So for the most part, this is a good thing, but for example, an infectious disease epidemiologist may not have full knowledge of chronic diseases or environmental diseases or cancer and all those other kinds of reporting that is required by their state. And it also requires knowledge of any synonyms or changes in disease names. And lastly, the QA process is affected by the availability and the accuracy of state lists. So these can be hard to find on state websites. There may be different versions available. We may not know which one's the most accurate or the most up-to-date, and some of them even have conflicting information at times. And the state epidemiologist is also the final approving authority for the SRCA results, so there's really no other gold standard other than that. So here's a look at what the SRCA looks like versus the state reportable conditions list, and what it has and what the list has that we don't capture. The SRCA does have a number of things, including the types of reporters that need to report, the reporting timeframes, the general reportable events like emerging threat agents in this example. It does include most reportable conditions, about 95% of them. We do have details to define some of the reportable conditions, and we also include etiologic agents for this year for some of them. The SRCA does not have any legal documents or citations for where this reporting mandate is coming from. We don't include contact information like phone numbers, addresses, or anything like that. We don't have reporting methods, so we don't say you have to report by telephone, fax, mail, electronic. We also don't include any reportable data elements. There's also other requirements and other reportable conditions that we don't capture in the SRCA. So even with those limitations, the SRCA does have a number of strengths. It is a national repository of information on what is reportable where and by whom. We also have a 100% annual response rate, which means that we do have a complete national picture, and it is updated at least once per year. The data is entered and verified by state epidemiologists. I mentioned this as a potential weakness, but it's also a potential strength because these are usually the people who are most familiar with their state rules. They're the people who use it each day, and they usually are the experts on this. We are also in the SRCA beginning to try to capture some of that variability in the state requirements into some kind of consistent format. That's been the challenge throughout this process, but we are trying to push states to say, is this reportable or not, implicit or explicit. The SRCA data is also useful for a number of things. It's useful for things like informing policy. So if I'm in a state and I want to add a certain condition to my list, but I want to see what other states have that condition reportable so that I can look at their language and see how I want to craft it for my rule, this is a good place to go for finding out what states have that reportable. It's also useful for national surveillance like the NNDSS and the way it's used for the MNWR. You can also do cross-jurisdiction comparisons of reportable conditions. So if I want to find out how many states have a certain condition reportable, I can go through the query tool and actually find that out. And there's also other uses that we may not know of, things like the RCMT or other projects that we didn't know about when we started the SRCA, but the data is actually useful for. So just to end, I wanted to stress that the SRCA does have important information about what's reportable where, but it's just one piece of the universe of information that would need to be in a reportable conditions knowledge base. And with that, thank you, and I'll take any questions if you have them. Do we have a mic or?
Yeah. Repeat the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for now we're still planning to do it.
Repeat the question.
Oh, sure. The question was, is there a chance to do this quarterly and have that information updated, since it would just be changing anything that has changed in the last quarter? And that is something that we're thinking about, at least having the tool open maybe throughout the year and just having a certain date where we'll collect that data for the MWR and for the SRCA. So that's something that's on the table. For now, we're going to work on getting people to do it for the first time in 2011 with the new system. And then after that, we can look at, you know, how often do we want people to update that information.
Are there any other questions? If not, we'll move on to the next presentation.